Salutations and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, well, I love Jinkataxius co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, sir, how are you tonight?
Feeling very complete.
Yes? I see what you did there. Let's go to Untap Up, Keep and Draw. But before we do, we'd like to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, Kerwin's is the absolute best place to go in gaming. They have an awesome and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike, and they have locations in both Catskill, New York, and on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Galleria in Poughkeepsie, New York. Kerwin's, again, is the best place to go in gaming. This is going to be a show. We haven't had one of these in a while.
You sure you didn't pregame a little bit before this one?
I did not. Yeah, you're pegging like crazy. Kerwin's is the best place to go in gaming. Now, they have a great streamlined website. Find them at kgsonline.com. Don't forget, you get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout. We also want to remind you that we have awesome patrons. We want to recognize our rare level patrons, Anthony, as well as Spencer, Chiba Tank, Nurse Gamer, VJ, Bell, Levi, George, David, Brian, and Apollo. And we want to shout out our Mythic Rare patron. Actually, I think Apollo gets moved to, yeah, Apollo got moved, didn't he? We also want to shout out our Mythic Rare patron, Jonathan, and we can't forget our producers, Jamie, Carrot, John, and Jake, and, oh, that's it, Nurse Gamer. It wasn't Apollo. Nurse Gamer is also a producer now. I got to update the doc.
My goodness gracious.
This is the disaster show, folks. It's going to be the best show ever. Oh, my God. Guys, you know, these people help out in just so very many ways. It's incredible. We couldn't do anything without them. One of the great things patrons get is they get the opportunity to join us on Commander Craft every week. This week's a weird week because we're doing the pre-cons, but for the most part, they get first dibs Monday and Tuesday, or Monday, you know, Sunday and Monday, and then Tuesday we open it up, as well as they get first dibs on our Win a Box tournament. So if you want to find out more, just go to patreon.com/planestalkers. Don't forget, Commander Craft is our Wednesday show where we play listeners like you using webcams and four-person commander. Now, this is incredible. This is the fun week. If you have a Kamigawa Neon Dynasty pre-con commander, we're featuring them this week. We're playing with pre-cons this week. We're playing with the Kamigawa Neon Dynasty pre-cons. So we're obviously going to have two-on-two, hopefully. We'd really love to have you guys show up and be able to play that. If you want to join us, go just to our Discord. Any level, you don't even have to be a patron this week, okay? It's open to anybody, first come, first serve. Game one, we already have Nick. And then we're looking for somebody for game two. Aramis and I have both, so we'll make it work. And we're, you know, we'd love to have you guys join us. Just go to discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. We're also proud to be the flagship CODcast.
That's, you know, that sounds like a great thing, but it does sound kind of fishy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We are also proud to be the flagship podcast for the Plains Talkers Network of Podcasts. Our sister show, Cantrip Cartel, is launched. They're on Anchor at anchor.fm/Cantrip Cartel, and you can download them on most podcatchers. And hit them up on our Discord. They have their own area, and it's really great. Finally, we are proud to announce that we have joined to become part of the Geek to Geek Media Network. This is a network of geeky content, podcasts, articles, Twitch streams, you name it. It's all dedicated to promoting positivity and inclusion, as well as just showcasing some really great stuff. They have a ton of great content over at their website. Just go to www.geektogeekmedia.com. And we're still in Untap, and I freaking need to untap. Apparently, I have too much blood in my alcohol system. So tonight, I'm opening my very last Command Z, a lovely triple IPA. 10% alcohol by volume, and god damn it, that's not enough. Aramis, sir, how in the hell are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. It was a great weekend. Me and the wife actually had a date night on Friday. Speaking of, hi, yeah. Babe.
Oh, is she here?
She's here. She said hello. Say hello back. Hi, babe. I love you.
Well, she's playing right now, and then I'll stop it.
All right, cool. So yeah, me and the wife had our first date night in a few months, and then only the like third or fourth that we've had since, you know, the world ended. We went to see Jim Gaffigan at the Palace.
I like
in
him.
Albany. Yeah, it was a good show. It was really funny. The guy who opened for him was pretty funny. Jim Gaffigan was really funny. Just a great night out. It was weird walking amongst a crush of people.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have to get used to that again. But it was really nice to get out and just, you know, enjoy an evening together. And then on Saturday, I drove out to Connecticut for my good friend's 40th birthday party. It was a surprise. He didn't know I was coming. And that was awesome. I bought him as his birthday present, the Kamigawa Commander Precons, because he's getting back into Magic with his daughter. He's teaching her how to play. And surprisingly enough, I brought a bunch of decks, and I was like, maybe we end up playing a game. I'm not expecting it. Turns out one of his friends plays Magic, and another one used to play Magic. So we got two Commander games in that night. It was great.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Hey,
so,
do me a favor. Pull your mic towards you. I want to check your settings. I can see your dials better than you can. Pull your mic. Pull it towards you. Closer. All right. Oh, hold on.
Is it up here? Hello.
I'm wondering if you're set on like sideways or whatever.
No, it's not. It's the one that looks like a, yeah.
Front. Okay.
Yeah.
And your dial is like mine. It's exactly like mine. You're at almost full. You're at no gain. Turn that bad boy a little bit.
That's all the way up.
No, that's all the way down. Turn it just a little bit.
No, this is all the way up, and this is me turning it down.
Yeah, that's weird. Yours is reverse of mine. That's so freaking quirky.
My image is mirrored.
Oh. Yeah, we're going to have to figure this out, because you do. I'll just put a thing at the start about, you know, we're having fun audio issues tonight. So, you're clipping. Like it's like you're throwing too much signal, but there's also not enough coming through. It's a very strange thing. So
could be a cord issue or something.
It's probably more along. It could be something on my end, but I doubt it because I'm running everything now has its own channel. So
don't know.
It's just something. It can be just something as simple as the driver got messed up. Who knows? Anyway,
for drivers later. Anyway, good, it was a good weekend. Had a lot of fun. I'll pass it over to you.
Oh, thank you. First of all. Now, listen, maybe Kerwin sponsors our show, but thank you, Flights, for my lovely mug, because I love this thing. Oh, dear. And damn it, if that isn't good beer. I had a weekend and a half, though. So, as many know, I think I talked about it last week, my nephew's kind of staying with us. He was going to stay with us for a week. And last, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, he's like, because he's homeschooled. So he's like, you know, I think I kind of want to stay a little longer. Is that okay? And I'm like, ask your mom. So I now have my nephew till March 20th. So,
wow.
I love it. I'm so excited. I love having him here. He's such a great – it's like living with me in a time warp. So we took him and Matthew, my son, and Matthew's friend Ethan all to Destiny on Saturday. We got through that snowstorm. Oh, wait. What are you saying here, Justin? Great choice. Beautiful enchantment to have an enchantment.
He's talking about my background.
Ah. And
overwhelming.
So we took him to Destiny. We took the boys to Destiny. And first of all, you know, anyone who complains about taking daughters to the mall, like with a group of their friends, yeah, boys ain't much easier. I had a 14, 15, and a 16-year-old boy with me. And it was, but it was an interesting time. I had a moment. I might have lost my temper Saturday with a patron at a restaurant because I made a joke that was a little inappropriate, as I'm wont to do, and she thought to correct me in a very interesting tone. And so I did not respond well to that. And my at one point the woman looks at me and goes, "Well, listen here, fatty," and then brings up like, you know, oh yeah, I got her so mad she was calling me names. And I was like, this isn't awkward at all. Oh, my gosh. Welcome to Redneck Theater. This is me. So who's leaving Magic? Nobody's leaving. Oh, learning Magic. Yeah, Will's going to be learning Magic while he's here.
Okay, so let's go off the checklist. You can't talk. I'm talking too loud. Now you can't read.
I can't read. So, but, yeah, I had an interesting weekend. We got back Saturday, and you know, we hung out a little bit Sunday and just kind of kept it quiet a little bit. And, you know, it's cold. I'm ready for spring to come now that it's March. And
we have
to
get ready for Wendy's 50th. Starts tomorrow.
Huh?
Meteorological spring starts tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. And it's Wendy's all, for some reason, she believes that she gets a birthday month. So she's all like, tomorrow starts my birthday month, dude. I'm like, meanwhile, I get half a day because mine's on Christmas. So, but she's turning 50, so she's coming to half century old. So, you know, I probably shouldn't have said that on the air. I blame the beer. So I'm about to get fired. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into upkeep. Tonight is an interesting show. What the hell just happened? Alexa, uh-huh. Stop. Apparently Alexa heard me say something. Oh, here this is the disaster show.
Let me just go cut my internet now so that we can
see. Yeah, right. So here's what we got going tonight. We have a really great show on paper. We're going to be talking, obviously, the state of Standard. Standard has obviously shifted. They had the arena open this weekend, so there's deck lists and all sorts of crazy stuff. Was it this weekend? It was this weekend, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I was out. I don't know.
Yeah. And then I want to talk a little. So we'll talk a little bit about Standard. Then we're going to talk. The new Capenna has had some there was some news that came out that's so interesting, and I don't want to spoil it. So, but we've got some great news about new Capenna coming up. The phone call is coming from inside the house. Thank you, Parkman.
That sounds about right.
So we're very excited about that. And then we're going to go into combat. We don't really have one. I think we were going to try to have one last week, but I can't remember what the hell it is.
I think we ended up having it last week anyway.
Yes. And then MTGO, main two, we're going to talk about MTGO and Daybreak Games. Saffron Olive from the MTG Goldfish podcast put out a tweet that kind of gave us a little bit of hope. So we'll kind of break that down. And then we want to announce our Winnabox champion because we're very excited about that. Again, don't forget, guys, this week too, Wednesday, man, if you got a pre-con, this would be the week for you to come into Commander Craft. But that being said, let's hit main phase.
Main phase.
All right, main phase. So, state of Standard is Standard has, boy, it just, wow. It's literally, I put it in the docs, I think you like my little comment. Control, we must learn control. Because out of the top 10, we've got what, 1, 2, 3, 4 control decks. So 40% of the top 10 meta right now, according to MTG Goldfish, is control. And the top deck is. I mean, Jeskai control, man. We kind of called that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looks like. Let me see. Kind of tap out control, really.
Yeah. Okay, Miss Jackson, control. Wow. All right then. You know, I love the fact that it's using Liar, Disciple of the Downed. I think that's a card a lot of people have been sleeping on. That card is, it's kind of ridiculous. So, you know, I love it. I had it in my deck. It came out for 5 minutes last week, and then you took care of it.
Yeah, there was no way I was letting that stay on the board. But yeah, Liar is a very powerful card. And like you said, I think people were kind of sleeping on it at first, but I think part of that might have been because of the meta as it was before that card came out.
Right.
Now that things have been banned and there's been, you know, new cards coming in and things have settled down a bit, people are starting to realize, you know, it's actually a pretty decent card. So
and it is, and I definitely, yeah, I liked it. And again, I didn't put it in that deck because of your control, like. But I was like, you know what, knowing what I was going to see on the board probably besides you, like, I was like, you know that, you know, I think Dave was talking about coming with control too. And I'm like, you know, if I'm playing blue, that should be in the 99.
Oh, I would say, it's a big non-bow with you, since you were also playing Jyn Gitaxias in your deck.
Yeah.
They don't go well together.
No, but it was a, if my Jinka Taxis doesn't hold, if it doesn't come out, then I've got, it's pivoting. For me, it was about pivoting. So, you know, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. you won fair and square. You really did very well, actually. I was quite impressed with how you did.
For anybody who missed this past Wednesday's Commander Craft, it was a live show from Flights. We did have some technical issues during that episode. But
a lot of technical issues, which we're working on.
essentially, you know, I was playing Jinka Taxis Progress Tyrant, the Phyrexian foil that I opened on our box battle stream last Friday night before last. And the game started kind of slow for me. I wasn't really doing too much. Will was playing Hinata Dawn Crowned. He'd brought a friend from his new gig who was playing the Biker Mice from Mars Commander. I forget what her name is. She's one that brings Commander's vehicles back from the graveyard. And then Dave from Flights was playing Kyodai, the new five-color white legendary. Things were going pretty slow, and in the end, I was able to get Jinka Taxis out and then start making just a lot of copies of Jinka Taxis with Helm of the Host. So... things got kind of crazy at the end, and I didn't completely run away with it because I was at one life when I won.
You did, yeah.
I had to win that turn or I was dead. I mean, it's too bad that there were technical issues because it actually ended up being a really good game. So we're hoping that the next time we are live at Flights for that episode, we have all that ironed out. In the meantime, I didn't keep the deck put together. But I do know what cards it needs in case I do decide to play it on a regular Wednesday show. So it is possible it will make a reappearance at some point in the near future.
Right. I'm going to keep this one. I'm going to use this one, I think. Okay. I'm going to play around with some of it, but I think it's a good enough deck to keep. I think it's good enough. It's pretty, it fits our, what we've got going on too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it can kind of hang with the play group we've put together. So,
yeah.
You know, I was overall pretty happy because I hung in right along with you for the most part. Like, you and I were kind of, my deck was nothing but a whole bunch of, what do you call it?
Board
wipes. I mean, I'm just wiping board. I want to wipe the board.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was actually your downfall. I think you're a little too trigger happy with them.
Yeah, but it was like, it's kind
of that's the type of thing you talk about, you know, when you're breaking down the game afterwards, saying, I don't know if this was a good idea to cast or not. But I think if there was one mistake that you made, I think you wrathed too early, and I think you were too eager to wrath because you were ahead.
Well, because I had three others sitting in my hand.
but that just means you sandbag it.
Yeah,
you know, because I think at that point you were ahead.
I was.
And I think that puts you far enough behind because at that point you'd lost your mana crypt and now you needed extra mana and it took you a while to get that extra mana. You kind of missed land drops for a while, so it kind of backfired in that sense. But
it's all good.
Yeah, it was a fun game. It was really good, and I can't wait to, you know, after the pre-con and everything else, to get back to our regular rotation with playing with the decks that we've built.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I think it's going to be a whole lot of. I'm kind of looking forward to it. We've got this week is going to be pre-cons, and then in 2 weeks it will be Vic. I think Vic's our champ, right?
Yes. We have it in Discord chat. Who won the last game?
Yeah, because
I think it was Vic.
Because I'm definitely looking forward to that. So, but yeah, let's you know, overall I can't complain. I'm liking where Modern or Standard is right now. It does seem a lot of control. It does, but it's been a lot of aggro. I mean, really,
the Jeskai control deck's 15% of the meta, which is not a huge number.
Nothing, yeah.
And the next highest control deck is 7%.
Nine runes, nine enchantments.
And nine enchantments has come up farther. I mean, is it dragons is still sticking around? I think that's going to stay. Mono white still hanging in there.
Well, the thing about nine enchantments is other than Runeforged Champion. And some of the classes, I mean, and the runes, obviously. This thing is mostly Kamigawa. Like, it's rotation proof. I think we're looking at the deck that could very well hang, depending on what comes out in New Capenna. But New Capenna is probably going to be a shit ton of artifacts.
Well, it makes sense, though, too, because Kamigawa was an enchantment and an artifact set.
Right. So, it's definitely... I think this is a deck that's going to hang for quite some time. Mm. Yeah, and unfortunately, guys, I can't get rid of YouTube chat bot because I'm using a different type of chat thing now. So I just opened it, though, in a browser window. I should have had it open. So I can't get rid of the bot or block it, which sucks. But what are you going to do? The other big deck, I mean, obviously, you know, Mono White's hanging around. Esper Control. Like, I think we touched on this a little bit last week. Like, that's another really, really, really strong deck. Using Kaido to kind of give vampires ninjutsu. Which is an interesting idea. Wait, is Kaido the one that gives everything ninja? No.
No, Kaido is the one where he phases out with ETBs during your turn.
That's it, yeah.
You draw cards, make ninjas that can't be blocked, and then you have an emblem with whenever creature you control deals combat damage to a player, search your library for a blue or a black creature card, put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle.
Yeah.
So he's card drawing, and he's evasion.
It's an interesting meta right now, and things are kind of settling. It's going to be a little bit. I'm really excited about like where we're at, though.
Seems crazy.
Yeah. So, and it doesn't seem too aggro heavy. I mean, yeah, mono red aggro is in the top 15. You know, it's sitting at about 14 with 1.9%. I think it can become something, but
maybe. I mean. It'll be hard. It'll be hard for the aggro deck, this particular aggro deck, to do it because I think the control elements that are in place are good against red. Maybe not so much against white, since that and green, since they're hanging around at higher numbers. But
right.
It seems like right now they're set up pretty well against the heavy red aggressive decks. Although red has a good showing, it's in the top three decks, so it's not like the color itself is in any sort of danger.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting meta for the next couple of weeks until things settle down a little more. So I'm on board. I'm here for it. So
oh yeah, me too.
You know, so standard again, Jeskai Control's kind of sitting at the top. Naya Enchantments not far behind. Naya Runes, however you want to call it. And then the rest kind of shakes out as it has been, except for Esper Control and Osorius Control in midrange. So Orzhov midrange. I think it's weird to say, I think the top two colors are kind of black and white, or black and white right now. I mean, especially white. White is getting a lot of toys.
I'd say red and white.
Yeah.
Because the first black deck is Esper Control at fifth.
True.
And red's in the top three, and white is in three of the top four.
True. It's going to be an interesting. I'm very much looking forward to see what comes next. So
it's pretty balanced right now. I think it's standard's in a good spot. I think that. Seiju hasn't become the boogeyman that some people were scared that it would be, but I don't think that was ever going to be the problem for standard. I think it was going to be a problem in eternal formats.
Mm-hmm. You're not wrong. So let's kind of pivot. Let's talk a little bit because last week's weekly MTG event or podcast, whatever they call it. And yeah, Parkman, I agree. Orzhov token seems interesting. They talked about the new Capenna release schedule.
Yes.
And, you know, I didn't even watch this. I'm sitting there, I'm like, whatevs. You know, it's like, it's going to be more of the same. Wizards is going to start hyping us up because the new set just came out. So, of course, we have to be hyped up for the next set 5 seconds after this one. Mm-hmm. Didn't think much of it. Thought it was going to be kind of whatevs. And then I was watching I was reading Twitter or Reddit or something, and I was like, wait, what? Because they put out there that the schedule is basically going to be April 7th, which is a Thursday, by the way, is preview start. So they're not doing previews on a Tuesday for once.
It's been Thursday. Thursday's always been the big video with the reveals.
Right.
That hasn't changed.
So April 7th is that. April 22nd is going to be the digital. Oh, wait. Sorry. Scratch that. Nope. It's pre-release. Friday, April 22nd is paper pre-release.
Yes.
April 28th, 6 days later, Thursday, is digital release, with Friday the 29th being the global release.
Yes.
That is huge. That is amazing. I can't say enough good about it. It's about damn time that they finally listened to everybody else. Okay, I don't think there's anybody since the pandemic has kind of started winding down that hasn't said one of the problems that they have is that arena's been getting that the meta's been broken on pre-release, and that pre-release didn't matter anymore. I mean, how many times have we said it?
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while, that pre-release is kind of pointless now.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, why go to a pre-release event if I could play the cards in arena 5 days before?
Right.
And even though, you know, and I mean, the professor put a video out today, and he's like, it's a full week. Well, it hasn't been a week in the last two sets. They've been doing it, like, the Tuesday before. You know, like, they've been, like, lowering that window little by little.
Yeah, but it's essentially a week. I mean,
yeah.
Between Tuesday and Saturday, when most people do their pre-releases, a lot of people don't do it on Friday nights. A lot of people do it on Saturday during the day because it's a midnight release on the Friday.
Not anymore. Now you can do it at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, but, you know, I think the majority of people who go pre-releases, they go during the weekend. So it's essentially a week that they get with the stuff online.
So that to me is fantastic. The fact that LGSs are going to start getting some love because this is, and here's the thing. I'm going to put this out there to you right now, guys. We have a listenership of thousands. Okay. So I'm talking to each and every one of you. I understand your personal, you know, you may have a personal thing, and if there's a check in your heart about this, whatever, I get it. If you're not ready to go and play Paper Magic in a store because of COVID, what have you, I get it. But unless that's the case, if you have an LGS and you like this, then by God, go to pre-release. Make sure you get out. Make sure this is the biggest pre-release in Magic's history. Because if this is successful, that's what's going to make Wizards keep it. If it tanks, then they're going to go back to Arena. I guarantee it. So because they were, they'll be like, "Well, we were selling gems." So, I mean, what do you think, Aramis?
This is how it always should have been. I think that one of the problems that they had with the sets being released digitally a week. We're going to say a week just for the simplicity. A week before the paper pre-release was that it kind of, we were saying, it defeated the purpose of the pre-release because people have already played with the cards by the time you get there. Pre-release was supposed to be the first chance you get to actually put, you know, to see the cards and play the cards in person. And having it being released digitally first really, you know, killed that. And I would imagine that it hurt the LGS's numbers for attendance because a bunch of people will be like, well, I've been playing this all week already. I'm already kind of burned out. I don't want to play anymore limited. I want to go right into standard, but I got to wait another week because it's not released yet. So this is what it should have been from the beginning. They should have never tweaked the schedule to make it released digitally first. Now, the one problem that will inevitably arise, because this is Wizards we're talking about here, is that obviously on release day, the 28th, it's going to be loaded with bugs and crashes, but they'll get through them for the most part. I agree with what you said. If you have a good reason, you know, to go to your LGS for a pre-release, make it to this one.
Yep.
Even if the set's not that great. Like, somebody, I was reading a Reddit thread about this, and somebody mentioned that this is great that they're doing this, but now what they should do is, like, once a year or every few sets, do a pre-release without having any previews first. How it used to be back in the day. Like, when I went to the Invasion pre-release, people had no idea what the cards did.
You can't do that anymore, though. You really can't. There's too many content creators.
They did it with Mystery Boosters.
Because they didn't know what the fuck was in Mystery Boosters. I mean, and here's the thing, Parkman. I see your point, Parkman, in one regard, but that's why I'm saying I want to use my platform. Parkman said the only issue I can see is if New Capenna is a weak set, people won't show up.
Well,
here's what I'm saying, guys. Let me say this to our listeners right now. I've said it before a billion times. I think I said it Wednesday night. A night of bad magic still beats a good day at work. Okay? Even if the set sucks, even if the set is Ixalan, show up. Get out there.
But what Park Mania is saying can't happen in 2021. Too many spoilers. Mystery Boosters came out in what, 2019, 2020.
It was part of the pandemic.
Yeah, but the convention edition came out before that, and there were zero previews on that. Granted, it was a 100% reprint set.
Right, but people and it was 100% not. They weren't really trumpeting it.
They said this is coming, but we're not telling you what's in it. And they did a pre-release that was completely blind, and the players love it. It went nuts. DC saying we froze, by the way. But
I don't think we're froze, are we?
Yeah. So
it's DC.
Barring manufacturer leaks, which we still have no confirmation that Wizards isn't behind that as a viral marketing campaign.
Of course they are. Duh.
They don't have to give the content creators cards.
No.
It wouldn't be all the time. They could do it once or twice, once in a while. I think that would be a great thing to do. Pre-release already brings people down to sort of the same level to play, because it's not a competitive event. It's a casual event. You're playing with the new cards. But I
and
remember, you know,
can't hear this, but here we go.
What is it?
Combat phase.
You're wrong.
Well, no, I mean, have you gone to a pre-release before the time when spoilers were put online before the set came out? Have you gone to those pre-releases before?
Yes. Yes, I did. I played back in the day. Yes. It's a wonderful pie in the sky idea, but there is a major difference between a mystery booster or a convention booster.
There is zero difference. Zero.
There's a very large difference in that.
It can easily be done.
It can easily be done, but it could never be done because the fact is there is so much riding on the standard 4/5 sets per year, because that's how Wizards make. They feel that they make their big bang. Okay, because they don't see a lot off of, they see enough off of, you know, the reprints and stuff like that. But they're bread and butter, both now in Arena, which, because they're moving MTGO to another platform, okay, they're only going to focus on Arena, which is mainly standard. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely no way they are not going to hype it up with previews. There's no way they can do it. I'm not saying it wouldn't be great. It would absolutely be great. I'm saying that it can't happen anymore, that the world has changed. They can do it with – I'd love to see them do it with a Modern Masters. I'd love to see them do it with Modern Horizons 3.
Modern Horizons is mostly new cards.
Huh?
The Horizon sets are mostly new cards.
Yeah, Modern Horizon is rotation. Good point. But, I mean, you know, I'd love to see it with a Masters set. I think that the Mystery Booster was perfect for something like that. But I can't see them doing this for a standard set because it's too much. And here's the thing, too. Standard sets, if they don't tell us what the reprints are, whatever the reprints are, then what could very well happen is a lot of people are going to go, well, I don't know if I want this. Like, unless they're throwing box toppers or something on it, they can't run that risk. I'd like to see them run
They absolutely can run the risk. I mean, I'm not saying they should, and I'm not saying they will. I'm saying they can. And I think that if they did, I'm purely in the hypothetical realm. I'm not worried about the logistics of it. I think it's something that can be done. I think it's something that would be awesome if it happened. Because there's other ways to hype the set than just giving out spoilers. Or they could limit the number of spoilers that are out there. They don't have to reveal the entire set 2 days before pre-release like they always do. They could put out a couple cards, like maybe a couple of story points or even just names of some of the cards. They don't have to say what the cards do. You know, there's ways they can get around the typical preview hype season that we're all used to. Just because it's different doesn't mean it's bad. You know, it would be an amazing thing, especially like, if you think about it, it would be great to do it for the Brothers War because that's the 30th anniversary of the game.
Right.
Well, when the game first came out, people had no idea what was in it.
I read something on Reddit today that somebody threw up the idea that perhaps Dominaria United is much like the Mirrodin set from years ago, where it wasn't real, and that Dominaria United is actually going to be the Dominaria Complete. And basically, Dominaria gets freaking destroyed, so they go back in time to the Brothers' War to undo it. Now, they still can do Dominaria
that's Avengers
United.
Endgame.
Huh?
It's Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, exactly. Because somebody even said, well, we'll send Karn to do it. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Well, Karn was time traveling. That's why he's silver. But that's basically what I'm getting at. I don't think they would put out fake spoilers like Park Mania suggested.
Right.
I think that is a bad idea.
I agree.
I think it can only go bad for you. Yeah, I do think it would be a fun idea. Like I said, not all the time. Once in a blue moon for a certain set. You know, it would have to be the right set for it to happen. I think to be like, you know what. We're going to keep this one close to the vest. Maybe they only reveal a handful of cards. Maybe they don't reveal any cards.
So what are you saying? Like they tie Mark Rosewater up in a room somewhere?
No, they just make a decision saying, listen, for this set, there's not going to be as many or any cards that we're releasing publicly. That way, if there's leaks, maybe then they're actually leaks and.
I'm not saying I don't agree with you that it would be a great idea. I think it would be a great idea. I can't see them ever taking that risk. They are too averse to risk these days because it's still Hasbro. So to them, this, and especially now that Magic makes so much fucking money, that they're not going to want to innovate dick. Like, they're going to be like, no. You don't innovate.
That's a great thing. It's not innovation.
Yeah, but to Hasbro it would be, because it's been 100% of Hasbro's timeline that they do these previews. So to Hasbro it would be innovation, and they're not going to pull the handle on that slot machine and run the risk of losing all the money that they get. I highly doubt
that the set's success or failure will be based solely on whether or not there's spoilers. If anything, I think it would increase sales.
Especially if
it's a good set. Because think about this: if there's nothing that comes out, obviously the pendulum can swing both ways. But since we're throwing hypotheticals out there,
right?
Imagine that this set ends up being one of the best sets ever printed. Nothing is said about the set until it comes out. People piece together the spoilers based on the cards they open. The real spoilers come out either the day after pre-release or a couple days later. And then people realize, oh my God, this set is amazing. And then there's a massive spike in orders.
Right. I think you underestimate the importance of spoilers or previews. I really do. I think they spend way too much time curating the order of which previews go out. They curate that little special they do. They spend a lot of money on that special they do, if you think about it. The production value,
they can still do that video. Talk about maybe the mechanics,
right,
but not show any of the cards.
But the point I'm making is that they wouldn't be spending that much money if it wasn't a return on the investment, if it wasn't something that they considered essential, because they don't consider organized play essential because they're not throwing anything at it. They don't consider streaming organized play essential because they're not throwing anything at it. They don't consider the MPL essential because they stopped throwing money at it, but they continue to throw money at previews. So they've got to have some sort of ledger somewhere that says previews are important. Now, again, I'm not disagreeing that it would be really great if they did that, and they should do it with a modern. I'd love it. Do it with Modern Masters. Give me another modern. Hell, do it with Commander Legends. I mean, you can't,
again,
because
there's new cards in that.
Yeah, there's new cards
and old cards. If the barometer for your whether or not they do it is reprint or not, the only purely reprint sets that are out there are the Master sets, and they don't do those anymore. Like they could potentially do it for Double Masters too.
Yeah,
but I don't think
if they were gonna
fire off that bullet, I don't think it would be for that.
I think every one of these is too much of a dice roll these days. Because and a lot of it has to do with the content creators, because too, I think they'd worry that you and I would probably be okay. MTG Goldfish would probably be okay, but imagine some of the other, you know, like the nitpicking nerds. Oh my God, those two guys would lose their damn fool minds All right. You know, there are other shows out there that if they weren't getting cards and stuff, they'd be, they, you know, they count on that for, and some of these guys count on that for views and for eyes and for things like
I don't,
so.
It's not, I don't think the those shows are so dependent on Wizards giving them a preview card to you know, to make it to the next month. I think that's oversimplifying.
I don't know how many get preview cards anymore. Like, you don't.
Yeah, it's very few. It's like, it's a couple dozen. They do, you know, some magazines get them. You know, other companies have gotten them.
Right.
None of these content creators are relying on the preview card from Wizards for the next standard set to pay the bills. It's an extra piece of content for them to supplement their regular schedule, which can easily be replaced by discussions or speculation about what the set could be if they didn't do the spoilers.
Right.
They would get as many extra views or not, because honestly, I don't go to any of these content creators' pages when they do previews. I just wait for it to show up on Reddit.
Right, but the thing of it is that other people do. It's a strange thing.
It's not gonna divert that so much traffic where they're like, oh my god, I just got 10,000 extra subscribers because I got a preview card.
Yeah, but don't forget, it doesn't have to on numbers. It doesn't have to on paper. A lot for some of these people, it's just the fact that they were counting on the content. They'd lose their damn fool minds over the fact that Wizards took it away. Look what happened when Wizards took away the preview streaming. Okay, like they used to let guys stream on Arena. They'd give them fake accounts with all the cards and let them, you know, they stopped
most of those content creators were already established. That's the thing. None of these people getting preview cards are up and coming. They're all established. They're all at the point.
They will still get pissed about it and they'll talk bad of Wizards.
But if it's a planned thing and they let them know that, hey, this instead of a card, this is what you're getting. They may still give them something to talk about.
Okay.
Saying, hey, here's a topic to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they go completely dark and don't say a damn word.
Okay.
I'm saying they change it to a different marketing strategy where they make you guess about what it might be. And then, hey, here's the pre-release. Here's the cards. How close to being right were you?
I don't know that they'll ever do it. I don't think they can. I wish they would. I'm not disagreeing with you that it would be great if they did. I'm just disagreeing with you that I don't think they ever could. Like, I think Wizards could. I don't think Hasbro would let it. I think Hasbro
could,
would be like...
Could and want are two different things.
Right.
Could they? Right. Yes. Will they? Do they want to? I don't know.
I think they
I'm
would
not
want
on
to.
Hasbro's
I think
board.
Wizards would want to. I think Hasbro would shut that shit down.
I think Watsy would be able to tell them where to go and how to get there if that was the case, because they are half of their profit margin. If Wizards thinks it's a good idea, Hasbro probably says okay, because without Wizards, Hasbro loses half of their profit.
Well, yeah,
they're half of the company at this point.
I think it's all kind of moot. I'm not sure exactly how to quantify that, but. Why don't we go ahead and pivot from that? Because, again, I'm excited for – I'm just excited that the LGSs are getting something.
That's
pre-release
the net win
is
out of
an
all
LGS
this.
Thing. You can't go to Walmart and get pre-release. It's an LGS thing. So, for God's sake, go to pre-release. Plan on it. Okay? It's April 22nd.
Yep.
All right? Seriously, put it on your calendars. If you're married and you and your wife have, like, a Google calendar like me, it's already in my calendar. Go to pre-release, please. Because I think it's very vital for these LGSs. Wizards is throwing them a bone, and it feels like an experiment. And they won't tell us it's an experiment.
It's funny, though. They're throwing them a bone without actually really doing anything.
Right. All they're doing is... Real, it almost is like they're like, okay, Arena, sorry. We're going to not apologize, not saying sorry, but, you know, we'll go back to the, you know. So, in any event, let's kind of pivot off of combat. Let's go back to main.
Main phase.
Because you pointed this out. There was some interesting info that came out from Saffron Olive last week.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you go ahead and read the tweet that that he retweeted. So.
Yeah, so Saffron tweeted out. He retweeted something from some other guy named Scott. The Daybreak Games put out some article, or basically a report, talking about what their plans for the year and some of the things that they've done. Sort of like a, I guess maybe like a financial report.
Right.
The short and skinny of it is, Daybreak plans to basically overhaul MTGO. They're going to modernize and upgrade the overall game experience is what Saffron quoted out. And then the article that it's linked to basically goes over, you know, telling how much revenue MTGO made. It's all in Swedish currency, so,
right.
You know, have fun with the conversions. But they're basically saying that they believe that MTGO can still be profitable. They think MTGO is still a good platform. It just needs some TLC. And right. Their plan over the next... Right. Over the next year, maybe year and a half, I think they're thinking by the end of 2023, they're going to basically... change the way the game looks. It looks like they're going to make a lot of like maybe UI improvements, coding improvements, just overall changes to the game, which are look to be designed to make the game more fun to play, easier to handle, and just to make it look better, which I think is probably the biggest flaw or strike against MTGO is that as robust of a game as it is, because it's essentially a copy of Magic in digital, it doesn't look very good.
No.
You know, there's no real, I mean, in today's...
It looks like 1997 threw up on your computer.
Yeah, it's like a Windows spreadsheet program. So, I mean, yeah. You know, in today's gaming world, you need animations, you need graphics, you need to look flashy. I feel like when Wizards came out with Arena, they probably, you know, 2020 hindsight... they probably should have waited on releasing Arena and not done Arena and just redone Magic Online to look like Arena.
Right.
You know what I mean? Full catalog of cards, multiplayer capability.
Parkman, when you play Moto, you can hear dial-up tones.
and just, you know, take the game into the 21st century. And right. They didn't do that. You know, they released Arena. They did what they did, and they do what they do with Arena. Daybreak Games looks to be the company that's going to be bringing MTGO as close to present day as it possibly can. I mean, I imagine it's going to be almost a rebuild at this point because right. I know how buggy that client is. I mean, you know, and I say that I don't mean like that the game doesn't work. It does. It's just there are some bugs in the game that have been in the game for a long time that have not been fixed. I think Xur's Weirding still doesn't work. And that's been in the game for like years. Like there's a bunch of cards from the recent Commander sets that still aren't in the game, because they just haven't been coded.
Right.
So I guess it looks like Daybreak is going to take care of the game. It looks like the game is in good hands. It's a very promising early sign. I'm cautiously optimistic. There's some other, things in the article that they talk about how the client will be moving forward. There's some people are interpreting it as instead of the current economy like it is now, maybe you get access to all the cards for a monthly fee, which I would be down with.
Yeah, well, that's what they do.
Yeah, which I think that would be fine. Pay right. $15 a month and you have access to every card in the game. All right, sure,
here's
whatever.
Here's what it is. All right, I said this when it came out. I have a lot of faith in Daybreak, okay? If it wasn't for Daybreak Games, DC Universe Online would be gone, okay? Because Sony just divested themselves of EQ, all of their gaming stuff, EQ, DCUO, all these other games that they did. They completely sold them off to Daybreak Games. Daybreak Games came out of Sony. So I have faith in Sony, or in Daybreak Games. I do. I've actually thought about rolling into MTGO again in case the economy changes, because right now, as I understand it, pricing in MTGO pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So I'm actually thinking about for the win a box pivoting to MTGO, like being like, guys, start playing MTG. Don't throw money at Arena anymore. Play MTGO. Cause you know, bah. But in any event, yeah, I ever since the beginning, everybody was kind of like sky is falling on MTGO with Daybreak, and I was one of those guys who's like, I think we could be okay. I think they will. All right, now they'll run into a problem because there's a lot of money being made by rental. Okay, there is a lot of money being made by rental companies right now in MTGO. And that's a thing. And Daybreak is going to have to navigate that, because I don't think you want to piss off the base. The thing about it is that Daybreak also deals with geeks. They deal with nerds. They know how loyal we are to a brand. They know how loyal we are to things. And if they nail, you know, the rental companies could come out and be like, look what they're doing to us. And all of a sudden, MTGO goes to Ghost Town. So I hope they think to navigate that well. But I'm all for it. I think it's fantastic. I think there's room enough for two Magics. I think if they're overly successful, I could see Hasbro going, oh, thanks for doing this for us. Awesome. Yeah, by the way, your contract is up. We're going to go ahead and just take this back. It's all good. But
yeah, I don't see that happening.
I don't either. You know, if they were smart, they would, you know, probably try to find a way to get more Commander stuff in there. I think that's really the problem with Arena, is that, you know, they pushed Commander real big a year ago.
Mm.
And it worked. Commander is the premier format now. Everybody is playing Commander. When you play Magic, a lot of people don't even know how to play 60 card yet. You know, I'm going to teach my nephew how to play 60 card, but that's a gateway to Commander. Like, I want to get him into Commander because I don't want to play 60 card. So, I mean, it's an interesting thought. Yeah, I think you're right. I think MTGO will go at more of an MMO style, because that's what Daybreak does. They do MMO. They do. When I say that, I mean billing. I mean, like, you pay a flat fee for total access for 30 days. So they'll give us, you know, access to, you know, the cards, the decks, and stuff like that. I think that's the way they go. So, and then again, I think they'll have to be very careful about the ownership problem, because people own their collections in Modo.
Yeah.
And
I think that's the big hook right there.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with people's accounts? Now, if they end up doing, you know, $15 a month, you have full access to everything, will they grandfather in the people who already have all these cards and say, hey, listen, you can sell out your collection if you want, and you can either
get credits.
you get credits on months equal to the value of your thing, or you can sell it for whatever money you want, or something in between. I mean, that's going to be the, you know, $10,000 question, I guess, for lack of a better term.
I think the other question is going to be the economy overall, because if they stop there's money being made in Modo. There is money being made by not just the larger companies, the larger card companies. There's money being made by, you know, mom and pops with large card pools.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, they're out there selling their stuff. They're prospecting. They're buying cards they think are going to sell high later. And if you stop that, all right, eventually you're going to break somebody's nose when you stop it. Some people will probably be okay, but there'll be others who are like, you're messing with my livelihood. You're messing with how I, you know, supplement my income. And again, if you get a bad rap, you know, the internet loves a negative story. And when that happens, you know, everybody's going to be like, we're going to boycott Modo. And then all of a sudden, you know, Modo's a ghost town. But I think Daybreak is going to be able to navigate that a certain way, I hope.
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think the game is in good hands.
I do too.
I think we'll have to wait for a few more months to see how things go and see if, you know, the improvements start becoming noticeable, or if they even come out and say, hey, we're about to start making updates to the game. You know, expect a bunch of downtime over the next 6 months, and here's what you can look forward to. And they just give like a laundry list of all these improvements.
I think they're really looking forward to it. Fixing the interface is going to be key. Absolutely.
I mean, like, the interface is fine once you get used to it. I think it's just not super. It's not. I'm trying to think of the word.
It's not. It's a shitty interface. There's no way around it.
I mean, it's clunky. It does what it needs to do, but I can, you know, obviously it does need improvement. But I think as long as they're able to keep the full catalog of cards, as long as they're able to fix the majority of the bugs,
that's all,
and then make some good quality of life improvements, they can do whatever else they want to do with it. I'll probably, you know, pick it back up because I still have my account. So
I still have mine too, and I've thought about kind of getting into Commander and Modo because I do like playing Commander. So, you know, I've thought about kind of hopping into Modo and playing some Commander and seeing how it goes, you know, but it's an interesting idea. I'm very excited. So finally, let's pivot off of that. One last thing to do before we head on out of here tonight. As you guys know, we've been doing a Winnabox tournament for the last about 3 or 4 weeks. And we finally have a champion. Now, it came down to Exgolt and Merryweather. Exgolt was playing... I got to find his deck list here. Exgolt was playing the Winota deck. So, Dino not surprised on that one. Like, that just automatic, you know, we knew that was going to go far. And Merryweather was playing Ripley Vance. So... interesting matchup, interesting all the way around. I guess it went to 3 games, and Merryweather pulled it out. So, Merryweather, congratulations to you, man. You earned that. We're very excited for you. Congratulations. You know, hopefully everything's, you're loving life right now. So, congratulations. Your Winnabox is going to be on its way. He's actually local, so I'm going to send his information to Kerwin's. You know, thank you to Kerwin's. They're our sponsor for providing that free box. It'll be on its way to you. I've sent the information to the store, and I'm waiting for them to get back to us. But everything is cool. So congratulations to Merryweather. We will be doing a Winnabox for New Capenna. Again, haven't totally decided. I've also thought about going back to Standard. Like, it's been a while. Mm-hmm. You know, and Standard's kind of fun again. So
Standard's in a good spot.
And we can avoid the, you know, Alchemy Standard. So so we're gonna think about that. If anybody has any ideas, you know, feel free to hit us up in the Discord. We got a few weeks on that. I do kind of want to start it a little early. I'd love to have pre-release, have them get a box right around pre-release, if we can. Or release. So I guess we got to do it in the next couple of weeks. But so let us know what you guys think. I don't know what you're thinking, Aramis. I mean, I love the legendary commander, but I think we can kind of... Brawl's been giving the... Brawl's having issues, like matchmaking.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. So, hey, maybe, again, Modo. Everybody go Modo. But you got anything else you can think of, or should we start packing ourselves in there?
That sounds like a good idea.
All right. It's actually all right. So as Aramis and I are rolling up our playmats, putting our cards back in the boxes, taking our pizza boxes over to the trash, because darn it, your mother still does not work in this Hallmark store. We want to remind you that we have a Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content. Look up the Planeswalkers podcast channel on Twitch, and there you'll see all the shows we do on both Magic and other geeky games. Yes, I'm playing RuneScape. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73, where I've started playing RuneScape pretty regularly there as well. It's weird. It's that almost gets a following. Like, the old school RuneScape people love that shit. So it's kind of cool. MindCrime73 is that. But just definitely check us out on Twitch, Planeswalkers Podcast.
And if you'd rather interact with us in a more real-time fashion, you can join our Discord. That is going to be at discord.planeswalkerspodcast.com. You're going to want to join that great community of folks. Lots of people usually chatting pretty much any time of day.
Yes.
That's where you need to go if you want to join the Winnabox tournaments. That's also where you go when you want to sign up for Commander Craft. And then also just, you know, just to hang out. Lots of good folks there. If Twitter is more your speed, you can find our show at Planes Talker Pod on Twitter, where we will tweet when we go live. And also, if anything else interesting happens, I've been trying to tweet more regularly lately.
Yeah, you're the tweet master. You're kicking ass on that.
Sometimes it's hard just to find a random thought to tweet about that somebody else hasn't already talked about. But
Did you retweet Saffron Olive?
I did not retweet Saffron Olive. I should have done that, but there's always next time.
But yeah, what is it again? Planes Talker Pod?
at PlainsTalkerPod on Twitter. That's where you'll find us.
Yes. My personal Twitter is at WRBenson. I don't tweet a ton. I follow various people, and it's cool. And, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to Facebook.com/PlainsTalker. Like and follow the page there. And don't forget, we do a playcast on Wednesdays where we play Paper Commander live. We still need you, okay? If you have a Kamigawa Neon Dynasty precon, we would love to have you sit in with us Wednesday night. Hopefully, you know, hey, if we don't get Kamigawa people, then, well, we won't do precons. But we'd really love to have you. Wednesday night, Commander Craft here, live, 7 p.m. Whether or not you can play, just tune in. It's really cool. I'm looking forward to it. Aramis is looking forward to it. Do you have any idea which one you want to play?
I think I'm going to be running the vehicles one.
Oh, I was going to run the vehicles one. All right, well, I'm going to run the vehicles one.
Dibs.
Wait, I lost. I should get to choose. But yeah,
dibs.
Wednesday night, Commander Craft, tune in.
Yep, and then just as a quick note too, when we do the pre-con deck episodes, these are the as-is precons.
Yeah, we're unaltered.
With these ones, the red-green one does have a printing error in it where they give you an extra copy of Mossfire Valley, swap that out for another land, basic right. land, and you're good to go. Finally, you can email the show. There are three email addresses you can use to get in contact with us. The first one goes to both of us. That is podcast@PlainsTalkersPodcast.com. If you'd like to email one of us directly individually, you can email Will. His address is Will@PlainsTalkersPodcast.com. If you'd like to email me, the address is Aramis@PlainsTalkersPodcast.com. And Will, I think we forgot something today.
Oh?
We forgot to pay the bills.
We did.
So
we're still
under
the
now?
Geek Podcast. I'm not going to play it now. Yeah. But, yes, I can't believe we forgot that. Oh, I feel horrible. So, yeah, I'll play the Geek to Geek podcast commercial some other time, but yes. So, I mean, the guys are excited. They finally got to skip the commercial.
This is how you skip the commercials, guys. You wait for the train wreck episodes.
Again, this is a train wreck episode officially. I'm going to put it when I do the audio. This is a train wreck episode. Warning, like shit went sideways. So,
we don't have too many of these, though. That's good.
No, they don't happen that often. But that's why I don't mind putting them up. Like, I feel we do a professional enough show that every once in a while, the disaster show, there's value in that. So, but on that note, we want to thank you guys for listening to the disaster show tonight. We will be back Wednesday for Commander Craft. It is the pre-con episode. So, again, let us know if you want to play. Aramis and I will also be here Friday, right? We're going to do our analysis. So, looking forward to that. We will be back next Monday with this show. So, hopefully you guys have an awesome week. Stay safe. Hey, keep Ukraine in your thoughts, folks. That stuff that's going on is horrible. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the show. And thank you so much for just making everything great. So, again, for Aramis, this is Will saying, remember to keep some of your mana untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a good week. Bye-bye. I had to throw the Ukraine thing in there.
Oh, yeah. No, fuck Putin. I love that.